The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, comedian Shonda Pierce opens up about her life experiences of love, loss, and lunacy.
Somehow I am blessed with this unapologetic courage to hope. I just refuse to let the devil take me down. He's tried. He's gotten a hold of me way too many times. But I refuse to go away into the dark without loving God.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is not with me today because we have sent her overseas on a mission, and we look forward to bringing that to you in the future. But right now, I want to go back a little bit. A few months ago, Tammy and I sat down with Shonda Pierce, and she has written a book called Life is Funny Until It's Not. And you know, when you talk to a comedian, you think it's going to be all laughs, and certainly we do laugh with Shonda often, but she reveals some very, very hard times. Why does she do that? Because she wants to give you hope. And so I want to take you back a few months and let you sit down with Tammy and I as we talk to Shonda Pierce and find out what God has done in her life. Because no matter what you're going through, you'll find that God is right there, even in the hardest times, even when life is not funny, even when you don't see any joy ahead of you. So enjoy Shonda as we reflect on this program that has blessed so many people.
We have the privilege of being with one of our favorites today, Shonda Pierce. I'm so happy you're back. And I just wanted to say right off the top, I love you. I respect you. I honor you. I have laughed with you for so many years. We've shared the same stage on Women of Faith for many years. I would laugh with you there. I'd laugh with you from afar. But it wasn't until I've read your new book, Life is Funny Until It's Not, until I finally really just sat and cried with you, Shonda. You weren't even with me, but I felt like you were. And I walked through this journey with you as you took me from beginning to end of your life. And I just kept thinking at the very end, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for not letting go. At times that I'm sure Shonda let go herself or wanted to let go. I mean, there's been abuse, loss, disappointment, all kinds of things that have come in and out of your life, and you kept fighting for life. And I can't help but to think that there are people that are watching today that have been fighting for life, that have gone through loss, disappointment, grief, and have wanted to give up and have asked the same question, God, where are you in the middle of it all? He is there. And I'm excited to talk to you about that so together we can all encourage people to be reminded that no matter what they're going through right now, Jesus is in the middle of it with you. Shonda, glad you're here. Tell me, let's start from the beginning. Why this book and why now?
You know, because Tammy, I have lived 32 years. I mean, I've done 32 years of stand-up comedy, and it's been fun and wonderful. And each night I will, as Randy says, he's so kind to me. And of course, his family is like my family, but and his dad, I share the love for his daddy. You know, he's like my daddy. And so I didn't want the end of my career to come that I didn't tell the truth, the solid truth about the dark times too. It's easy to stand on a stage and be funny, 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 and then turn that corner real quick and have about 15 minutes left of good ministry. And then you say goodnight.
Right.
People don't know the in-between, you know, that there's always that joke about on your tombstone, there's the day you were born and the day you died and those in-between. People don't know the in-between. They know the ups and look what I survived, but they don't know how poorly I did sometimes surviving it. And I think I just needed it to be what to do and what not to do, and just an honest look. And the prayer is that people see the survival.
Exactly.
You know, people will see.
Yes, you're a fighter. There's no doubt.
You know, everybody always says God is good, and then the congregation says all the time. There's been times I've sat in the church and they say God is good, and I want to be the one that goes, really? Yes. And the truth of the matter is he is good because he's always there with you. I think about the two, Mary and Martha, when Jesus came and their brother had died, and they're like, if you had just been here, you know, he might have not died. I mean, they had that accusatory anger, you know. And they were so, you know, disappointed that he wasn't there on time. And the sweet thing is, when Mary and Martha, you know, ran to him, and Martha's, and it says, and Martha stayed inside. She's like, I have just had enough of that. You know, I don't want to see him. He wasn't there for me, blah, blah, blah. And yet Jesus was there. And the first thing he wanted to do was go hug her too. And I know you're angry. I know you wished I'd been here on time. Just wait. You're going to be surprised how this ends. Yeah. And I am surprised I'm still here sometimes. Yeah.
No. Shonda, people know you as someone who is funny, right? A comic. Is comedy some mechanism of coping with a lot of the things
Yes,
you've been through?
Absolutely. You know, what a grateful, that's what I'm so grateful for. I had a wonderful counselor tell me one time, have you ever just stopped and thanked God for your job? Because what a healthy outlet for a while. Now, I remember jokes I used to tell, and I knew the condition of my heart when I told them. And I was hoping that when I told them, the person that was getting the punchline could hear me. So, you know, she would know what she said when I was a kid. And she said, you're not very P-R-E-T-T-Y. I hope she hears this joke, you know. But then your healing comes, and then the laughter and the creativity starts kicking in of wanting to, you know, write words in the right space so people will laugh at the punchline. The mechanics of it kicks in, and you become so grateful to the creator of the universe who even created comedy as a joy function and as a place for medicine. And I love that. And I love that he's allowed me to survive a career for so long without ruining myself to continue my job. I love my job. Yeah.
What would be one of the greatest life lessons that you think you've learned that you could tell me that, Tammy, don't do this, avoid this, this is what I did, and this is, if I had changed this, maybe I wouldn't have walked down that road?
I think if I had learned to trust quicker and faster, because, Tammy, you know, even my days at Women of Faith, when people pat you on the back, I didn't trust it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, they're really friendly to me, but they're going to hurt me, you know, and to believe that not everybody is out to hurt you.
Yeah.
I think if I had believed that quicker, it's like when James Robinson calls me on my cell phone, I take it because I know he's never going to hurt me. There is a man that stood up and I can trust with integrity. When people like that came along in my life, it was a game changer because God knows I needed people with flesh on, not just the Holy Spirit, but I needed people in the flesh that I could look in the eye and know I could trust them with my life. I didn't have that for a long, long time. I had a wonderful, loving husband, and he had his ups and downs and his demons, but I could trust him with my life. And then when he was gone, I have a problem trusting men anyway, you know what I mean? And so I don't trust. And you might get burned. You just might get burned. You know, that little voice might have been right. They're going to hurt you. But it's still better to try to find a friend, try to believe a friend. When Tammy Trent says on the screen and says to you that she's proud of you and that she loves you, I fight to believe that, and yes. I do.
Good.
It's taken a long time to believe it.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so glad, because that's part of the hurdle, I think, is just as you said, both of us believing.
Yes.
I have my own set of trust issues, girls. Girl, when it comes to dating, I certainly have my own. And, you know, I wonder, you know, where does that come from for you? Why do you think even now in this season of your life, why are you having a struggle with trusting men?
Probably from childhood, watching a very unfaithful father. You know, he would take me with him when he would go meet his, you know, friends, you know, call it visitation, but, yeah. you know,
yeah.
That's a problem. And I've worked through that a lot in therapy. And I think I was on the verge of really trying to enjoy the dating, you know, the obstacle of dating and the online. I used to say it's going to be the best material of my career. And then it just turned a corner and got really, really sad. And then I had a horrible encounter back in 2016. I was sexually abused by a man. The police had to come. I had to do the rape kit. It was just so disgusting. That will turn you off from ever meeting a stranger online ever, ever again. You know what I mean? And yes. Yet that's been many years ago. And healing comes with a block of time. And at times, you know, somebody will be nice and say, hey, would you like to have lunch? And I'll go, no. And if they're persistent, I'll finally eat lunch with them. But the truth of the matter is, you finally get a certain age, Tammy, and you know this, where I don't have to have a man. And I don't mean that in some feminist way. I am not at all a feminist. I don't have to have a man. I would like to have a man in my life, you know, a companion, a leader. I long for a spiritual leader in my life, but I don't have to have it, because now I've learned that the Heavenly Father can be a father and a husband, yes, and a friend,
yes,
and a companion.
Amen.
It's how much of Him do you want?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's me. I decided I want all of that.
Yes.
I want all of that, Jesus. I want all of that. And it took me a while. I began to trust Him as a daddy. I began to trust Him as a, you know, a pal. But then to begin to trust God as your husband and your leader and your companion, that's a whole different level, and I love it.
I think that that's one of the most damaging things that men can do, especially to women,
right?
Because it's real easy. It's easy for everyone. And, you know, there are people watching right now that struggle with this, but we project our human experiences, especially with a father, onto a,
yes,
God who refers to Himself in the Bible as a father. And if,
right,
if you have a, you know, some of the things that you talk about in your book are really hard. Your dad's, what was his diagnosis?
Yeah, he was diagnosed by bipolar is the popular term. Back in the day, it was manic depressive, borderline schizophrenic.
Yeah.
It's his high that would get outrageous, where he would feel narcissistic and just what he wants, what he wants. And in mental illness, what happens is there are these blockers that don't even allow you to reason. And so that's why it's important. Mental health is so important, because you can call it sin in the world, a demon, you can call it a medical condition. But if this organ isn't operating right, then it's going to affect everything, your heart rate, how you feel about yourself. And that, when this organ's not functioning, you can't even hardly hear those words that, you know, you got to be the leader of the family and all that. It's hard. Yeah.
Right, right. So I mean, here's the question is, how did you get to the point where you could see God for who He is and say He's a good God when you had,
yes,
such a dysfunctional father in your own life?
You know, I think that's the beauty of it. And I don't want to turn this into a James Robinson, you know, love fest, but it is what it is. I was well into my job for many years with this problem hanging in my head about the fatherhood of God. I was, you know, the breadwinner of my home. I was the, you know, dragging my kids to church when my husband wouldn't, kind of woman. But it was until the Lord allowed the scales to come off slowly and see what a fatherhood is supposed to look like. Now, I'm sure James Robinson probably wasn't the greatest father in the whole planet. But to me, I begin to see it was the possibility. There was the possibility of what fatherhood is supposed to look like. And being a public person, and Tammy can probably agree with this, all of a sudden the Lord's placing you in places to make people laugh or to sing or to entertain or to host. And all of a sudden you get to rub elbows with people that are authentic.
Yes.
I met Max Cato. I met Billy Graham. I met authentic men that were so, they had no idea what the real thing was going on with me in getting to know them and meet them. And praise God that they, I always say, praise God. They didn't know the responsibility they had right then at the moment. Praise God. They came through. You know what I mean? They didn't disappoint. They didn't let me down. Billy Graham still is the dude, you know? Yes. So I love that. And I hate that it's, you know, I'm not a shrink. I'm a comedian. So I don't know why it took so long, but I know that that's what helped. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I absolutely can relate to that. You know, my parents, I come from a broken home, and then my stepfather it wasn't the greatest situation. And so I definitely was one of those two that just, I longed for a daddy in my life every single day that was faithful and that was consistent, that told me I was a princess, that I could be anything. And so what a gift to both of us that God would bring us different fatherly figures that loved us well and continue to love us well. And my dad is a big part of my life today. Praise God for that, and loves me well. So I'm blessed, and I'm so grateful you've had it too. Shonda, there's a quote that is in your book. Maybe faith is not about what you get. Maybe it's about who you become. Maybe it's not about believing your circumstances will change. Maybe it's about believing in God, even if they never do.
Yeah.
God is a faithful God.
He is a faithful God. And I have, people always ask me, how'd you do it? And I said, I don't really know. I can't tell you step by step how to get through each and every one of these things. Somehow I am blessed with this unapologetic courage to hope. That was kind of what I said in the very last of the book. I just refuse to let the devil take me down. He's tried. He's gotten a hold of me way too many times, but I refuse to go away into the dark without loving God. I relate a little bit to Job, but I love Job because he never stopped loving God. I will never stop loving him. I'll never stop believing that it's true, that Jesus was the Son of God. I will never stop believing. And it's in that courage to never stop. All of a sudden, the days pass and you got through that, and the days are good and life is funny again. And then sometimes it might not be, but I'll start again.
The things that she has been through, it's heartbreaking. It really, it's tough. And I know some of you are in a very tough situation right now. You need to know that God is faithful. He has not abandoned you. He will not ever abandon you. He's with you. Maybe that's why you're watching this program today, because God just wanted to remind you that wherever you're at, even in the darkest times, He's there with you. If you need to hear someone just say it and pray with you, just to encourage you, to hear another human voice, we have a prayer line just to encourage you. Pick up the phone whenever, wherever you're at. Pick up the phone and call. Someone will just agree with you in prayer. They'll listen to you. And most of all, they will remind you in an audible voice that you can hear on the other end of that line that God is with you. He truly is. And if you need some encouragement through Shonda's book, Life is Funny Until It's Not, you can get the book when you support an outreach today, because we want to remind people around the world that God is with them. And we do it by meeting their very practical needs. Just as you might have had the need to be encouraged today, there are people right now that have the need just for something to eat. That's why this mission feeding program that we've been doing for decades now is so important. It's so close to my heart, close to my parents' hearts. It's because people have a hunger, a physical hunger, and they can't meet that need. But we are in a position, you and I are in a position to help meet that need. And you think, okay, I can't do it. We feed 350,000 children every day. You can't do that alone. I can't do that alone. That's the beauty of us coming together as the body of Christ, not the individual, not the isolated, not part of a community. Coming together as a community and saying, you know what? We're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're going to reach out to those in need. We're going to remember the poor, as Scripture tells us to do. And we're going to do something. And your something may seem like just the widow's mite, but when it's given in obedience, God sees it. Maybe your something is to feed a lot of children today. Whatever it is, we want to invite you to be a part of this beautiful outreach saving lives and encouraging people with the love of Christ. Watch this and then pray about how you can be a part.
In my travels to the mission field, I'm always torn between happiness and sorrow. Happy when I get to be a part of our mission feeding program that is saving children's lives and providing hope for their mothers. And then there is sorrow. Sorrow when I'm with mothers in total despair because they have no food for their families. Sorrow as I watch children fighting for their lives because of severe malnutrition. For me, at times like these, I must speak up for the voiceless and say, providing them with life-saving food can be the difference between life and death.
I do believe in hope. I do believe that God will provide. And I do believe that that provision will come from God's people. Because truly, at the end of the day, we are all family. We are all family, and I believe that God asks us to step up when we see a need and do whatever we can to stand in the gap for these families, for these children, to save their very lives. We cannot wait another day. We cannot wait for tomorrow. They may not have tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come for them, but we have today. And today I will speak for them. Please send help.
I've been there outside the clinics when it was just too late. I've prayed for a child that died that very day. And to hear the heartbreak of a mother, it just rips your heart out. And I got to be honest with you. Those are the days, you know, where I've gone, God, I know you care. Lord, you say you do in your word. I believe it. Why don't you do something about this? And you know what? He has. We're all the help. We're part of that body. Some the hand, some the heart, some the head. I don't know how it all works, but I know that when we all work together, we do great things. In fact, right now, we feed 350,000 children every single day. 350,000. That's a lot of need, but the need is greater than that. But we need to keep doing what we're doing. It's giving people a hope, it's giving people a future, and it's giving them an expression of God's love that they can't deny. Will you be that today? That's my question for you. It's not just a plea. Yes, it is. I will never apologize for asking for help for people in such desperate circumstances. But it's also an invitation to step in to what God has designed for us, which is to remember the poor, to care for the poor, to express His love in action. And we do that right now. It's simple. A gift of $30 will help feed 3 children for the next 3 months. Yeah, it's because we've been there a long time doing it. We have maximized every dollar. A gift of $50 will help feed 5 children. A gift of $100 will help feed 10. Some of you can feed 100 children for the next few months with a gift of $1,000. Maybe you can feed 1,000 children with a gift of $10,000. I don't know. All I know is that God has called us to express His love to people and to do it by meeting the very practical needs. And here's a need. So will you join us in this mission feeding outreach? Will you join us in comforting those who have lost? Will you join us in saving those that can be saved? Go to the phone, go online right now. The situation's urgent. We need to hear from you right now. Make the best gift you can.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine, putting at risk thousands of lives, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
This is the Mission Feeding Program in action. We are giving nourishment to children who have come to school. So we're giving them an education. We're getting them in the schools. When we come into an area like this, we take them from a state of malnourishment and listlessness and hopelessness, and we give them a future. We give them life through a simple bowl of soup. The only question is there enough soup in this pot for this line? We're confident that there is today, but beyond the end of this line, there are other villages. There are other children who need a bowl of soup just like this. Will you extend this line? Will you give food to a child today? I hope you'll join us. You really can make a difference. Go to the phone, go online, give the best gift you can, because Mission Feeding saves lives. I hope you will go to the phone or go online right now. Make the best gift you can. And you know what the best gift is? It's the one God puts on your heart. And when we all act in obedience, amazing things happen. I hope you've been encouraged today through this program. We have a lot of encouragement for you, and we put it all on lifetoday.org. So if you want to watch this program again, you want to watch any program you may have missed, maybe you're just looking for a topic of encouragement or instruction, maybe a specific testimony, go to our website, lifetoday.org, because we exist to encourage you, to bring you closer to Christ, and to meet those practical needs of people around the world. Request Shonda's book, Life is Funny, with any gift today. We'd love to send it to you just as a resource to bring you that hope and come back. We'll be here for you. Please join us again next time on Life Today.
For 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Call now to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love to a world in need.
Introducing the all-new lifetoday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Visit lifetoday.org and experience the best of life.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.